the tables with Messiah tanking it up. I do not believe, just believe.
What's up, lad?
No, you might hit that over.
Hello, and welcome to episode 483 of the League Rundown, brought to you by the Trinity Force Network. This is season 13, 2023, World's Swiss / Group Stage Check-In. This episode is lovingly entitled The Rundown Halftime Report, brought to you by that one very serious referee. I'm your host, Sean Jagoodoff Duffy, and I'm joined today by two esteemed co-hosts. We have the gradually more present Jack Zoman.
Twitch.tv/Jack Zoman. Come watch me get trolled and ranked over and over and over.
And fresh out of the can, it's Badger Baby.
You know it. So, serious referee. New head of global esports for League of Legends. Who says no? Because when they did the villainous like pan up from his feet, I was like,
so good.
Oh my gosh, he is actually the main character of Worlds at this point.
Has he said a word yet?
No, he's been deadpan. Awesome. He has no reactions when he pulls the stuff. He just,
you know what he reminds me of more than anything else, especially with the production. Have y'all ever seen Iron Chef?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's very much Iron Chef. Just the statuesque, no emotion, full drama.
He just has the same expression on his face every single time. They took a picture with all the referees. Greg Adler tweeted it, and he has the same expression on his face for that picture. Like, everyone else is like smiling. They're like, we're halfway through groups, and he's just like, I have to keep this persona up.
This is my life now.
This is my life.
As someone who's been watching VODs because I don't want to stay up till 8 in the morning or whatever, I just skip all the stuff outside of the games, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
So he's the guy that's been doing at the end of the day when they do the draws. This is the guy that actually comes out on stage and does the draws. They don't have like, because they had, I'm trying to think, they had Mata do it for round one at the end of play-ins.
Okay.
But then they've had this referee do it every single time. Kind of like how, if you watched VCT, Victoria Horley, who's the global head of Valorant Esports, was the one that did like map vetoes and stuff like that with all the teams. So like they just have one designated person doing this assignment. So, and it just turns out to be the guy that's got the most stone cold dead killer face on that they found.
I see.
It's great. He's doing a good job.
He's doing fantastic. And the draws are fantastic too. Except for that one time we had all the regional matchups, but we don't talk about that.
Which, it's fine. It happens. It's how the way she goes. Speaking of, the World's Swiss Stage will resume on Thursday the 26th at midnight PST. So that's at the end of the day on Thursday, to clarify. So you've got some time. Hopefully by the time you listen to this. Roster news. There are already some rumors going around. As a reminder, do not trust everything you see. I was really glad I said that last week because we've heard that Maple had retired. And very quickly after, we learned, no, he hadn't retired. The sheep, so LEC, what is it?
Wooloo.
LEC Wooloo or whatever. Those rumor mill accounts, the Pokemon ones. They came together apparently and created a website in order to post other stuff. And one of their guys, according to them, mistranslated an article or specifically an interview. And they believed Maple was saying he was retiring rather than what apparently he was saying, which is, you know, it's something he's thought about. That's it. So some similar translation error is what they're blaming it on. But they took over 24 hours to correct it. They didn't take down the original report. As of the time when I saw the correction on Twitter, they had not actually updated their own article to reflect that correction. So just pure amateur hour. It's always been amateur hour. It's just a lot easier to see now when it's codified. So don't trust anything until you see it from more reputable people. It just doesn't really exist anymore without Jacob Wolf in the scene, who was really the only guy who was double checking. I think Alexander Gomez is someone who does a pretty good job of that, but I don't know how involved he is with this anymore. He seems to be very interested instead in F1. That's it. I don't think we have any actual roster things going on. Is there anything else?
Usually contracts are not actually up until the day after Finals of Worlds. So we probably won't get anything official until then, but we'll probably get more believable or concrete or like verifiable rumors in a couple weeks.
There are some rumors from the same people about Vitality changes with Perks leaving, Jensen leaving, Dignitas, etc.
Yeah.
But so keep your eyes out for
I have a feeling once we get further into like actual playoffs, that's when stuff like gets said from teams. But
Yeah. Agreed. Hey, come join our community Discord. It's really fun. We could talk about these rumors. We could talk about the actual changes once they're definitive. Come chat with us about Worlds itself. We've been doing off and on watch parties, depending upon who the fuck's awake at that given time and how hyped the matchups are. People are staying awake very, very late to watch some great matchups, which as a working man now is insane. I'm in bed by like 8:30.
Yeah, I was going to say, as someone who is still waiting for his new job to start,
you could do it.
I can do
it.
It's
fine.
Well, not this weekend, but
right. You got something else.
I got something else going on this weekend that's kind of important, but
Other things. If you wanted to help out with the hackathon, you're too fucking late. We already did it. It's submitted. We had a lot of fun. If you're interested in what we did, join the Discord. We've got a hackathon channel. You can read through what we did. It was very rough. You know, it's a couple of people, and huge shout out to MiniQuant, who put together so much stuff and really carried the entire project from beginning to end as our sole developer. So huge shout outs to Mini for all of that. Very happy that we were able to submit something. Our project is called Duffy for Commish. So if it's a really good project, you know, maybe I get the job. community game night, we've kind of once again put those on hiatus. It's even harder, I think, with Worlds and that really fucking up people's schedules. But do join us on Monday nights is when we tend to have people playing anyway. And if you want to play, just join the Discord, jump into one of the voice channels, and I guarantee you in the next 5 minutes, someone else will jump in. People are always lurking. They're just looking for people to play with. Fantasy, Mighty Kiko, I put that together previously. Obviously, we don't have any fantasy for Worlds, so instead, you got to focus on the Pick'ems. MiniQuants put together our own little version of Pick'ems. You should also be joining our leaderboard for the official Crystal Ball predictions on the LoL Esports site. But if you want to do day-by-day Pick'ems, which I find to be very fun, Crystal Ball stuff you kind of set and forget for the entire stage, Mini has got you. So come on into the server, ping Mini or myself if you want to roll so you get reminded for World's Pick'ems. And he will just post every day and has done a great job of that, giving you specific things that you can guess every day for the next 24 hours.
I forgot the pin message for the leaderboard is me saying me smart because I put the wrong thing in. And that's the one that got pinned instead. So me smart.
Very smart. Double smart, actually.
I double smart, let me tell you.
To all of our patrons on Patreon, you guys fucking rock. Thank you so much for your support. You all are what really allows us to continue putting out decent, high-quality audio every week. If you'd like to support us additionally, rather than just listening or giving us a review and rating of 5 stars or thumbs up, whatever you can do, you should definitely consider joining our Patreon. For $5 a month, you get access to all of our pre-show shenanigans. That's our entire catalog. That's literally tens of hours of content, of complete goofs, insane backstories on individual cast members, and insight into everything it kind of takes to sort of make this show run. I don't really know if it runs so much as crawls. But it's super fun, really beneficial, and we're heading to the off-season, and in our special content Patreon role, which is $10 a month, you will be qualified to be part of our off-season shenanigans. So if you're interested in being part of a game show, one of the many we do every off-season, or maybe something a little bit more fun, I haven't figured out exactly what we're going to do in the months of November and December, please consider joining at that $10 a month mark, and you can get entered in. And I'll try to get everyone who's a special content member. I want you all to be a part of this. So the more the merrier. It'll be really fun. If you're interested in what that looks like, go back to last year and look at our Shark Tank episode, which was really fucking awesome. And I'm hoping we're going to do something similar again this year. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about Worlds. It's time. This is only the halfway point. So to everyone listening, we're not going to go too crazy in depth. There are two teams already that have qualified straight out of the Swiss stage. They went 3-0, and they're just awaiting opponents in the, I guess we're just still calling it the playoff stage. It's playoffs, baby.
Yeah, knockouts.
Yep, knockouts, best of five knockouts later on. And we have eliminated two teams who went 0-3 overall. The numbers, of course, being series wins, losses, because for the final match, it is a best of three. And unfortunately for two squads, they're eliminated. Two squads moving on, having won their respective best of threes. Let's start at the top. Gen G, LCK's number one seed. Their road to knockouts was GAM Esports, SKT, and G2. And they 3-0'd. They 2-0'd G2, by the way. That was not a particularly competitive best of three.
They smacked them. It was very convincing.
It was not good from G2, who were looking great up to that point. They were both 2-0 winner advanced.
Great is kind of, I don't know.
G2 had a significantly harder schedule than Gen G.
Oh, yeah, and no, for sure. 2-0. Like, that's, I'm not going to debate that. I just think there was moments in the Damwon and the Weibo games where they were getting their asses kicked, just to put it bluntly. They were getting their asses kicked for an extended period of time, and then they had to rely on miracles after throws to bring it back.
But they did. That's the G2 classic. That's the thing. Classic.
They did. Like,
get your ass kicked
how many
for 18
times,
minutes and win.
How many times, like, once you go against, like, better teams, like, I mean, we can't really say too much because they're playing energy in round four, but...
yeah, NA's greatest.
I feel like Badger is just salty because this was Def's first loss.
Hey, man. Hey, man. Hey, man. Brother Kellen, so honestly, I think Kellen has taken like at least 3 years off of my life watching him play at this Worlds.
We're going to talk more about that when we get to that team. So stick to Gen G. 3-0'd. Yes, they did it, but they did it, in my opinion, by beating one really bad team, although we're going to talk about exactly how bad they might be later, beating an opponent that they've been just smacking around for a couple of years anyway in T1, and then soundly bringing back down to earth gamers as well. Mm-hmm. Not the toughest road to get to knockouts. That is juxtaposed by JD Gaming, who also advanced 3-0. Now, their first matchup was BDS. Yeah. Yeah. That was...
it was very one-sided.
Yeah. Oh,
but there was one fun person in particular that had a good game for BDS, but we can talk about that later.
We will get to that. but then they faced BLG, their arch nemesis in the LPL, who they beat every fucking time. And then they beat LNG. So they beat two of their domestic opponents, but both, I think, are contenders for world titles, and I think clear contenders.
I think it's those two are the field. You would take those two any day of the week at this point. They're just JDG, good right now.
Yep.
JDG had, in my opinion, a tougher road to the knockouts, and they passed with flying colors. Does anyone think less of either Gen G or JDG, who I think all believe would be favorites, after the results of Swiss Stage?
I mean, other than Kangas trolling, every single one of us had one of these teams going 3-0.
Yeah.
I was just thinking one of them was going to get bracket fucked and had to play the
right
other one.
And that's why we didn't have both of them going 3-0, is we assumed one of them would have a bad matchup, possibly against each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the only thing that I had. But the best part about this is since they're both 3-0, they're going to be opposite sides of the bracket. So no matter what, they can't meet until grand finals.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ryan. That'd
be awesome. Some really nice improvements with the format this year around. Let's talk about third place. We have several teams still 2-1. the aforementioned Bilibili Gaming, G2 Esports, KT Roaster, LNG Esports, NRG, and SKT T1 all are in the positives, are competing in best of threes, but they still have an extra life if they lose. Let's start at the top. Bilibili Gaming, they were victorious over KT Roaster in their first match. They lost to JDG in their second, and they picked up a second victory over Fnatic.
Yep.
This was all best of ones, by the way. So they've only played best of ones. In fact, everyone listed in this category has only played best of ones except for
G2, LNG.
GT. Yes, G2 and LNG. Everyone else has only played best of ones because of the way that they got their scores. All of them, most of them just now got into the two category for a win or a loss. Any thoughts about Bilibili?
They look good.
I think, but yeah, like they're not who perfect. I thought they were. Mm-hmm. They lost the one matchup I would expect them to lose.
Yeah.
They won the matchup I was most worried about, which was KT Roaster. And I thought they looked solid against KT.
Fnatic that game was really good. If you're looking for like good games, like must watches, KTL or KTBLG was a really good game.
Yes, highly recommend it. Don't recommend watching their third game against Fnatic, especially if you're an EU fan. Not fun.
Regardless of fandom, it's just a boring stomp.
Yeah, it's not good. G2 Esports, Jax, you want to talk about their run a little bit?
Yeah. So G2 is one of the only teams in here that played a best of three because G2 beat up DK, and that game was way close. Like, that's a fun game to watch. It is a comeback. It's not nearly as pronounced as their second game.
Oh, the second game was
this is like G2's down like 1,000-1,500 gold, finally wins a team fight and takes control and never lets go kind of game. Hansama on Draven is terrifying. Then G2 plays Weibo, and this is the game to watch. Holy shit. As a spectator, no matter which team you're rooting for, this game is incredibly close. At like 35 minutes, even though G2 has been coming back for a while, it's still not clear if they're actually going to complete the comeback or if they're going to lose a team fight and instantly lose the game. G2 does eventually complete the comeback, barely eking out a gold lead by the time the Nexus explodes. And then G2 gets absolutely blasted by Gen.G.
But hey, they have energy, so it's fine.
Yep. That's really the narrative for G2 is they get blessed draft in round four.
I can't believe they're going to be 2-2 after this.
G2, I think, has the hardest schedule of anyone for the first three rounds, just period, in that they drew two Eastern teams and then one of the teams that went 3-0 and looked incredible doing it. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
that's rough. Almost everyone else in the 2-1 group has gotten to play either NA or one of the worst EU teams once.
There is the advantage of at least they were only, quote unquote, playing the fourth seed from the LPL and the LCK. Now, Damwon was given to them because of the draw at the very beginning. But Weibo was a great pickup for them. They could have had a significantly tougher second opponent. Mm-hmm. And Weibo, I'm going to fucking say I called it. Weibo is who I thought they were, which is a very up and down team.
Very coin flippy.
Yes, who maybe aren't actually prepared at this Worlds. So it's looking good for them. I do think Damwon, their first opponent, is much better than their record shows.
Yeah.
And they've been just getting some difficult matchups and haven't been showing, except for one game against BDS, really what they're actually capable of. All right, KT Roaster. Hey, why don't you take this one, Badger? Tell me about their journey.
Yeah, so KT Roaster, first round played BLG. It was a really good game. It was very good. Saved people in the 45 minute to 49 and 59 second bracket of the Pick'ems chart. Thank you, blessed KT and BLG. And then they played Damwon in the 0-1 and beat them. I'd say it was convincingly. I think it was pretty convincing for the most part. And then they played Weibo in the 1-1, and that was just KT Rolster. That's just, it was, they had a good game as well too there. So they've had two clean performances. They had a weak game, a longer game, you know, and against BLG. So honestly, I think KT Rolster has had a really difficult schedule, and I think their round four backs that up too, because they play LNG.
And
that's going to be a really good series.
I think literally two title contenders. Yep.
I think if you include the round four, KT has had the roughest draw of any team, and the fact that they're 2-1 speaks volumes.
Yes. Yeah, they might actually be the real
Which isn't looking good for me, because I said that Aiming was going to be the biggest fraud coming into the tournament, and he actually has the most kills in a single game right now. So that's your update for your pick-ems. He dropped 14 on Kaisa against Weibo Gaming. So...
that Weibo bot lane, though.
Weibo bot lane is exactly what we thought it was going to be.
I'm feeling vindicated.
I don't even think they're a top 10 bot lane in this tournament.
Let's jump to LNG. This is a team that I expected to be in contention for a title, and they're looking like fucking frauds if you just look at what they've done.
I said they were going to miss, so I feel pretty... if they didn't get spared by the fact that they drew Fnatic and Cloud9, who are both frauds, because, you know...
Here's the problem for them. They started with Fnatic, then got Cloud9, and then faced JDG. So realistically, they had a single best of three wherein we could competently judge how good they are. And what's the problem with it? It was a best of three against JDG. It was, I think, far and away the favorite to take the entire cup.
And to be fair, they did take a game.
They did. It was not a pushover best of three as a whole. If we get a best of five between these two teams in a final, I'm not going to be sad. So, to their credit, LNG, when pushed to the brink by the only good team they faced, did fall short, but still looked quite good throughout. And you can only beat the people in front of you. They just happen to have had two very easy games before then. Countering that, of course, with they're going to face their seed opponent in KT Rolster, third seed from each region, will face each other. Winner will advance immediately into knockouts. Loser will get one more shot. So they are going to actually be put to this test this time around. NRG, here we go. I get to talk about this one. NRG have had what a fun set of games, man. this is another team, for the record, that has only had best of ones, so we haven't actually gotten a best of three result from them. They started against Weibo. That game was not even fucking close, my God. It was brutal. That was when I thought Weibo was really here, and maybe I had messed up completely. Thank the Lord. Nope, they just flipped heads that game. They then faced Team Liquid. This game was not particularly close at all, but the game against Mad Lions, if you want another fun game to watch this Worlds, NRG Mad Lions is a thrill ride. Total slobber knocker, not great league, but so fucking fun to watch.
Yep.
Totally recommend that one. They're 2-1 now, and unfortunately their opponent in their first best of three at Worlds will be gamers as well.
I say fortunately, because this matchup guarantees that no matter what, we will have at least one Western team in knockouts.
It's true.
Even if G2 completely shits the bed here, that means energy's in knockouts. It's a guarantee we have at least one Western team.
Oh, God, don't say that.
I also think the drafting between these two teams is probably the most interesting in the West now that BDS is gone. So I'm a little interested and excited for what we're going to get out of the BO3. My sincere hope is that Think Card doesn't just drop the fucking ball and we actually get some interesting drafts and not just like, I don't know what to do. Contracts Lee Sin. Yeah, God. T1, other 2-1 team. This is a team that has not had a best of one. Best of three yet?
Yep.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
So they went 1-1. They started with the easiest fucking matchup against Team Liquid. You want to talk about that one, Jax?
I want to talk about T1 because I think T1 are the Korean frauds right now, which is wild for a team that has Zeus, Owner, Faker, Gumayushi, and Karia on it. because
they just played in World Finals last year.
I know. So against Team Liquid, they looked shaky. It took a long time for them to beat Team Liquid, and that game was close. And that had me thinking maybe Team Liquid was the dark horse for NA because of how close they fought T1. And then Team Liquid absolutely shit the bed. So it just makes me feel less confident in T1 because T1 then went up against Gen G and got blown out. Like, that was not close. T1 got destroyed. Chovy went deathless against Faker. Like, it's brutal. And then they got to play NA again. And T1 beat up Cloud9. T1's only wins so far at Worlds are against North America. They're up against BLG now. And BLG have had a harder schedule. I think there's a real chance that T1 makes it to round five.
Well, I think that's like the guarantee. I think it's like a 90% chance that T1 is playing in round five.
Like, I'm picking BLG over them. I don't think it's 90%. I'm gonna say like 2/3.
I think BLG outside of Gen G and JDG has the best chance to win Worlds.
That's fair.
I don't disagree with that.
Who do you think it is then?
It is early.
You think LNG?
I don't disagree with that.
Oh, you don't disagree?
I think, I think those are... No, I've got JDG followed by Gen G followed by Bilibili followed by LNG, and then maybe eventually I get to T1.
It just feels so weird for this lineup to feel like they're propped up by schedule.
I think the biggest problem that we've seen from T1 so far, and now remember, these have, once again, all just been best of ones. Mm-hmm. And realistically, we got one good matchup from them with Gen G. Now, of course, once again, the Team Liquid game was not great. Owner has been really bad. I think this entire Worlds, he has struggled. I'm hopeful that the small break will maybe allow him to kind of rethink some shit and maybe get the coaching back on track.
I just realized, depending on how the draws go, if they lose round four, they could draw D plus or Weibo and actually lose in round five and actually not even make it to knockouts with the lineup that was in finals and went to five last year.
T1 Weibo is we're slated for that at this point.
I want it. I want it so bad. I don't even care who wins. I just want the Xiaohu versus Faker matchup to happen during Worlds.
You guys are wrong. It's going to be Weibo G2. And Cadril's going to throw a fucking fit.
That was so
funny. It's going to be
great. Did you watch him rip the jersey off at Baron? Because he was... No. He's... Okay. Background story for people. Cadril's in Korea right now. He's at the T1 headquarters. He has his Fnatic jersey on one side of him. And then he has a Weibo the Shy's jersey right next to it on the wall that he's in the T1 headquarters. He wore a G2 jersey for G2 Weibo. But people saw this like little white stripe at the top that's not on the jersey. It's like, is that his the Shy jersey on underneath it? And so G2 throws at Baron and he just rips the G2 jersey off, revealing the Shy one underneath it. And he's like, haha, you fools. I've been doing this the whole time. And it's like, yeah, we already knew. So.
And then
G2 won. The game.
Yeah. It was pretty good. So, all right, let's talk about the bottom teams now. Cloud9, 1-2. Not doing so hot. They did have a tough run though. Badger, you want to talk about them?
Yeah, so they had Mad Lions in the first round, who we'll get to Mad Lions and their schedule that they've had up to this point. But they beat Mad Lions and then they lose in kind of decisive factor against LNG and T1, and then they get another NA versus EU matchup in round four. Excuse me, when C9 plays Fnatic.
Let's go.
To the point of, it's not who's going to win the game. It's just who's more likely to lose it in my mind. Because goddamn, both those teams, big stinky. C9 right now, big stinky.
Yeah.
MNS, I feel bad for Berserker because Berserker's actually playing really well right now. And the rest of his team around him is kind of crap in the bed.
Yep. Berserker's honestly top five right now in the tournament as an AD carry. And may even be higher if he had the tools to do anything else.
He had a team.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to watch. So one of Cloud9 or Fnatic will be going home after this next round. We got D plus Kia. This is a team that very quickly ended up in the best of stage, losing to G2 immediately, followed by KT Rolster loss, and then got rewarded with BDS.
And they stomped him.
Yep. Yeah. Anything you want to add to that one,
Batman? Kellen, stop adding years to my life. You're the weak link of the team. Canyon Showmaker starting to finally show up. Showmaker looked like himself in the series against BDS, which isn't really hard to do when you're against Nuke. But we'll see how it goes when they go against Gigabyte Marines in the blessed round four matchup for Dom1.
What's wild is they get two back-to-back super easy matchups, and they still need to win another one to get out.
And the other one they're going to have to win against is going to be probably like either Billy Billy or KT or either T1 or LNG.
Yeah.
They could draw like energy.
They could draw energy.
Good G2.
I don't want them to get three easy draws in a row. I want them
I know, that's actually the thing. Like, I want them to actually play like someone decent and be like, oh, stomp them. And then be like, oh, yeah, no, Dom1 actually looked pretty good. And then they can just lose peacefully like 3-1 in quarters to Gen.G or JDG.
I'd love to see an LNG matchup personally.
I think that would be really good. And I think that would be a good litmus test as to a team that could potentially play spoilers.
And technically, they could also draw whoever wins of the 1 and 2 teams.
Yes, they could get Weibo, which I would also be very excited
they
for.
They could get Showmaker versus Fnatic
and just have the easiest fucking path out after getting stomped
twice. They could get Mad Lions, guys.
No, they can't, because that would require Mad Lions to beat Weibo.
It could happen, it could bro. Happen. It could happen.
Dude, I want to see that happen, because that would be
I wild. Want it, bro. I want it so bad. Fnatic 1 and 2. Hey, Jax, why don't you talk about Fnatic's run? It's a tough one.
Fnatic is only still in this tournament because they drew Gigabyte Marines in round two, which hurts me to say because I predicted them to get out barely by the skin of their teeth. Could still happen. They're not out yet. But they got blasted by LNG and BLG, and they beat the hell out of Gigabyte Marines. It wasn't particularly close. It's like it's a 24-minute game. I wanted to say like 25 minutes. I was close. It was brutal. I will say Oscar does not look like he's fallen out of form. He looks like he's fully recovered and is back to Oscar form. He also looks like a rookie at Worlds. And that's what he is. So that's not criticism. That's not like saying shame on him. It's just it definitely hurts Fnatic that he is definitely inexperienced against this level of top lane competition.
Yep. It's good experience for him. And the other members around him aren't exactly performing to their own experience and expectations.
Yeah.
Cough, cough, looking at you in the mid lane, Humanoid. Again.
Humanoid has been always terrible.
He's been very, very poor. Now, again, this is a team that has only played best of ones.
Yep.
We've only seen three games from them. Their very first best of three starts now against Cloud9. Not now, but you know what I mean.
Round four.
Ding, ding, ding. Speaking of round four, guess who's around for another set of best ofs? And that's GAM Esports, who sent one of our own home this past weekend.
Deservedly
Hey, Jax, why don't you talk about it? Yeah.
So GAM had an impossible round one draw. They got Gen.G. But then GAM had Fnatic and got blasted. I honestly thought Team Liquid was going to beat the hell out of them, but they played a three-game series against Team Liquid, and they beat them in the end. Like, they won game one, Team Liquid came back in game two, and GAM rallied their mental and absolutely blew out Team Liquid in game three. It was brutal. If you're a fan of Team Liquid, don't watch Game 3 of GAM Team Liquid. Just watch Game 2. It's the only one Team Liquid wins. kind of the narrative for GAM, I think, so far in this tournament has been Slater came in looking terrible. He looked really bad in the beginning of play-ins. By the end of play-ins, Slater looked fine. at this point, Slater looks like the best player on GAM. Like, just straight up.
I know Katia is supposed to be like the star of this team, but I was so massively underwhelmed by him over and over and over
again. Kati straight up sucks. I think he's one of the worst mid laners here. Kiaya is shockingly solid. Better than I expected him to be, but he definitely can't hold up to the actual good top laners here. Levi's Levi. He's coin flippy, but he's really good when he flips heads.
He's solid. I think, I am colored by the T1 series in which Pioshek had like one good game and one game where he had any agency. And in that game, he did shellack Levi. But I do think Levi, he deserves to be at Worlds.
Yes.
And I'm unsure about that for most of the rest of his team.
Like I said, I've changed my mind on Slater as he's like gotten used to playing here. He looks like he belongs here. Yeah. Kiaya looks like he belongs here. Palette, not so much.
Slater and Palette were added to the team right before like summer playoffs. So like they're like fresh to the team. So, yeah,
and it showed in play-in. So it speaks volumes to how good Slater actually is that he's looking as good as he is now.
Yeah, and credit to the staff or whoever is helping with that too. It might be he and Palette just like working it together. And they're rewarded, of course, with playing against Damwon Kia. So have fun.
Have fun.
Good luck. Speaking of a team that's just here to have fun, you want to talk about Mad Lions?
I want to talk about Mad Lions because Mad Lions has had the most blessed draw of any team in the entire tournament.
It's so
Mad Lions has played Cloud9, BDS, and NRG. And the only thing Mad Lions has managed to do is prop up NA.
Let's go.
They suck so much.
Listen. I have been a Mad Lions fan since day one for this moment. All right. Everything was building up to this Worlds where my fandom was going to be rewarded by propping up NA teams. Let's fucking go.
It's honestly impressive the fact that they're 1-2 and they have not played anybody. Like, they genuinely have not played anybody.
Yeah. They should have been the team in the, like, knockout game in round 3. They sucked that much, but BDS just sucked more and Mad got the most blessed draw that could ever happen.
Now, they might be blessed or cursed because of the fact that they're playing Weibo in round 4.
Well, let's talk about them then.
Oh my god, Weibo. So, Weibo played NRG round 1, beat them, got everyone's expectations up, looked really good for the first like 60% of the G2 game, and then just threw it away. And then they played KT Rolster and got slapped. So, they are probably the worst Eastern team at the tournament, which is weird for me to say because I thought that they were going to be super underrated coming into this, but
their bot lane just sucks.
Yeah, the bot lane's not good. So like
like Xiaohu and the Shy look fine. Weiwei looks fine. Light looks serviceable at best, and Crisp looks outright bad.
Weiwei got taken to town by Cuz Lightyear in the KT Weibo game.
Bro, I am feeling so fucking vindicated for saying Weiwei looked so suspect coming into Worlds, and he is living up to it. I actually thought their bot lane would perform a hell of a lot better than
that. Well, yeah, no. I think a lot of people thought their bot lane would perform a hell of a lot better than it did, but...
Yep.
But Weiwei, I knew it. That man was a fraud. Mm-hmm. Let's say that in all jest. He's a very good player and can kick my ass in video games. In game, I should say.
I just think it's great that in the G2 game, they had like they have had the AWS like win probability stuff. And like they had like a 91% chance to win the game. And then they just, you know, threw the entire game away in like 2 team fights.
Yeah.
It was impressive. Honestly, I was impressed by how hard they threw away the game.
I'm wondering if they were still tilted during the KT Rolster game. Because I would be, I think, especially given how important these best ofs are. But we're about to find the what their actual metal is. Not, of course, in round four when they play Mad Lions, but whatever opponent they get in round five.
I mean,
five,
if they lose to Mad Lions, we know what it's like, team. So.
Yep.
Yes. It's over.
I so want that to happen. I want Mad Lions to just absolutely prop up the West as much as possible by somehow beating Weibo so that they can lose to a Western team in round five.
Bro, if they beat Weibo, everyone will forget anything bad Mad Lions has ever done. Like, that's all they need to do. They should just be sitting around like a fire all, like, every day between now and when they actually play Weibo, just like meditating and bringing in all the good juju.
Just watch them beat Weibo and then promote Fnatic into the group stage.
Dude, let's go. Knockouts. I don't care.
I love it.
That's great.
That's what I want to
have. If they eliminate, as a reminder to everyone, there are 8 teams that can move on. If any Eastern team is eliminated, that is a slot that essentially a Western team or GAM can then grab. Yep. So there's an opportunity right now for 2 of those teams to be knocked out.
And that is Damwon in the world
and Weibo. Yeah, it could happen, man. Now, unfortunately, we have 2 teams that are officially eliminated, and that's Team BDS and Team Liquid. We'll start with you, Badger. Why don't you tell us Team BDS's journey and then eulogize them?
Hey, so for a team that had low expectations coming into Worlds, a team that people didn't even think was going to make it through the play-in game against Golden Guardians to make it this far, they had a good showing against JDG. I'm going to say it. Adam had a good showing against JDG. Who am I kidding? Sorry about your luck, Chuck. You drew Mad Lions. You should beat Mad Lions. So if you can't beat Mad Lions, you deserve to go home. Let's be real. Like,
yep.
Good experience for him. Thank you for coming back to Worlds, Adam, and having the gods meme and all that stuff. It was great while it lasted, but and enjoy your flights back to Europe. I don't know what to say. At least you didn't get the airport speed run. The team that we'll talk about here in a second that we haven't mentioned got the airport speed run. So cool. I don't know what else to say. Jax, just talk about that other garbage can team.
Yep. So the other trash can team is Team Liquid. Honestly, just super disappointing after how good they actually did look in their loss versus T1. The way they looked in every game thereafter, including their win against GAM. I don't know what the hell's going on internally for this team. Something is fucking wrong. Because, holy shit. Like, their only win came off the back of Pioshik playing Kindred, his literal champ that he has named himself after. Mm-hmm. And
being great on it.
He still looks fucking great on it. He is an incredible Kindred player and just hard gapping the entirety of GAM, basically single-handedly. Like, Summit and APA just existed to provide CC so Pioshik could kill people.
I think that does a discredit to APA's Orianna, which was quite good. This is the game.
He didn't where he play does Orianna well in that game.
He didn't play.
He lost on Orianna. Game did
he play Ori? He played well in that game until he wasn't. But I guess
you want to try again. Which champion he played in that game, Duffy?
Was it Syndra?
Nope.
Fuck. What was he playing mid lane? What did they let him play?
Nico.
Yep. That's and right.
He actually did have good ults. I will give APA that. Yes. His Nico was fine. It's just Nico's not really a high damage champion. She provides a shitload of CC and engage for Pioshik to murder people with. They played the comp well. I don't want to spend too much more time. Something's clearly fucking wrong. They are knocked out because they couldn't even beat GAM.
Yeah.
A Western non-fourth seed couldn't even beat GAM.
Yeah.
And it's not like GAM looked good.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Pioshik. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I think he had a good Worlds. He struggled because his team struggled.
Hear me out. I don't feel bad for Pioshik because he went from winning Worlds as clearly by far the worst player on his team to landing a fairly lucrative contract on a Western team and being clearly the best player on it. Dude got paid. Yep. I don't blame him. I think had he not been on Team Liquid, we wouldn't be talking about him right now because he'd be on some seventh or eighth place Korean team. So I don't feel That's bad fair. For Pioshik at all. This was the height of what he was going to be able to do after winning Worlds because no one wanted him.
I hope more than anything that there's a support network for Yan and for APA who I think are going to be feeling the brunt of any criticism, either internally or externally.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't deserve
that. No, they don't.
Both rookies, the APA even more so rookie than Yan, both of them more than capable to exist at the LCS ecosystem. And I'm hopeful that this will be something that they can learn from and grow from and become terrors of LCS and come back to Worlds and have a better individual showing. Because they deserve that. And it was a lot of the other things that fell apart around them, like Kof the coaching and Kof the drafting and other things I think were significantly greater issues than any of these individual players. Okay, guys, that's it. I think we're done.
Yeah.
So wave bye to everyone. Wave bye to the cameras. We're just going to get the fuck out of here. That's it. Everyone who's watching or watching. See, I already got cut up in my own stupid joke. Yeah, par for the course. Everyone listening, thank you guys so much. This is just a little halftime report. So just to kind of give you something to listen to if you weren't able to watch Worlds, like most of us here in the Western audience. And want to hear about what's happening at the midway point. Our hope is that this is in your ear holes before the start once again of the next stage, which is Thursday at midnight. So it's coming up pretty quick. We hope to get this in you too by Wednesday morning, maybe Thursday morning itself. So excited, hopeful. It's been a very fun world. Swiss format has been an awesome change. I'm excited to see if there will be further iterations on it and for what the future holds. We knew round four, but we still got a round five, and the round five matchups could be insane. And those will be the final ones of this particular stage before we move to the knockout.
I just want to point out real quick, I think this is weird. The way they've scheduled this, for round three, they put the elimination matches last, giving the teams that are facing elimination the most time possible to prepare. Mm-hmm. For round four, they've put them first. They are the first two games on Thursday, and then the first game on Friday are the elimination matches. That just seems backwards to me. Look,
they do get a break.
There is a break, and that's all well and good, but it still feels weird to play the games that teams will get knocked out of Worlds before they play the games where teams won't be.
I think they should have done a 2-1 and a 1-2 each of the 3 days.
I'd be fine with that, too.
I think that's probably the better format, but that's just my
opinion. I'm wondering if it's a fairness thing.
It might be a fairness thing.
Because if you play the other matches and then you have an elimination match, I'm trying to think of like how this might work. Yeah, they might be trying to like limit the downtime after the matches are played. Because if you play an elimination match and you win, then you at least get like another day to relax. And then the other team, you know, maybe has to do it real quick after, but
that could be
because yeah, everyone's in best of threes now.
You're right, because the round five matches are literally the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. That so makes it might sense. Just be a little bit of a break for them because they're gonna be backs against the wall, right? So that would be my best guess. All right, that's it. If you're listening to us, please, we'd love 5 stars. That is 1 star for each of the players on BDS who failed to live up to any potential. I'm kidding. They did fine. Who cares? 5 stars, 1 for each of the Gen G members who absolutely showed the fuck up this Worlds. That'd be awesome. Or a thumbs up if that's all that's available to you on whatever platform you're listening to our podcast on. We'd love for you to share this with friends, family, whoever you know who's looking for a little bit of an update about what's happening in Worlds. This is, you know, about a 30 to 50 minute long episode in total. And we're going to have another one after this. We're hoping to have a couple guests throughout Worlds as well. We're going to be getting some other folks back from our normal casting crew as well. So keep your ear holes open for all of that. But thank you guys for listening to us. Patrons, once again, huge shout out to y'all. We love y'all. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.